Good morning. The inspiration for my thoughts this morning comes from a line from a song, line in a song by the rock band Aerosmith from the 90s. I hadn't listened to this song in years, but within the last month or a few weeks, I've recently found it again and added it back to my workout playlist. And so now for the last few weeks, since I've been hearing this song again, this line from the song has been playing through my head over and over. So I decided to give a lesson on it. The song is titled Blind Man, and the line is, I met a blind man who taught me how to see. I met a blind man who taught me how to see. There's irony in that line, of course, because obviously a blind man can't see, so how could a blind man teach someone to see? And it's that irony that it's a unique line that makes it stand out to me. But like with many songs, of course, there is a deeper meaning to that line. When the lead singer of Aerosmith, Steven Tyler, when he wrote that song, he was in rehab for alcohol and drug addiction, and battling his addictions. And I read that during his recovery, he learned to see all of the amazing things that he'd been missing while he was either high or drunk. And the blind man that taught him how to see was one of his sponsors, his recovering alcoholic. Because in AA and in rehab, usually your sponsors are someone who has been an addict themselves, someone who has once been blind themselves to the things of life, things that they're missing. So this blind man, not literal, but figurative, helped him learn about everything in life that he was missing because he was so focused on satisfying his addiction. He was missing things in life because he wasn't giving them the attention they deserved. Once he was sober, with the help of this blind man, he was able to see what he'd been missing. So with this line, I met a blind man who taught me how to see, running through my head for the last few weeks. I started to look at some scriptures regarding the blind men that Jesus healed in the Bible. I was curious if there was anything I could learn from these blind men. Now, there's quite a few scriptures of Jesus healing blind men. Some scriptures have the blind men being brought to Jesus by his friends or family, and then the friends or family asking Jesus to heal him. I won't be speaking about those blind men this morning. One of the longer scriptures about a blind man is in John chapter 9. It's the one where Jesus and his disciples walk by a blind man, and his disciples ask Jesus, did this man sin or his parents? Thinking somebody had to sin for God to curse this man with blindness. I won't be speaking about this blind man either, but there is a lot to learn from that story. There are three blind men I want to speak about this morning. Two of them are in Matthew chapter 9, 27 through 31. It reads, when Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him, crying out and saying, Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he had come into the house, these blind men came to him. And Jesus said to them, do you believe that I am able to do this? They said to him, yes, Lord. Then he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, let it be to you. And their eyes were opened. And immediately, Jesus sternly warned them, saying, see that no one knows it. But when they had departed, they spread the news about him in all that country. The other blind man I want to speak about actually has a name, Bartimaeus. His story is in Mark chapter 10, starting in verse 46. Now they came to Jericho. As he went out to Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Then they warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. So they called the blind man, saying to him, Be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you. And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, What do you want me to do for you? The blind man said to him, Rabboni, that I may receive my sight. Then Jesus said to him, Go your way, your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. Unlike other blind men referred to in the Bible, like I mentioned, the ones who were brought to Jesus, these blind men spoke out to Jesus on their own. The first two that I read about in Matthew, Scripture is saying that they were following along Jesus. Following along Jesus, crying out to him. These are blind men. Blind men following Jesus. It doesn't say that people were helping them to follow Jesus. It says they were following Jesus. I would imagine it would be difficult for someone who is blind to follow, to get along. I know it can be done. People get along blind pretty well today with help of walking sticks and guide dogs, but I doubt these men had guide dogs with them. But they were following behind Jesus. And then Bartimaeus, he was begging at the side of the road, and he heard Jesus coming, it says. And then when Jesus called him, he got up and went to Jesus. Again, blind, going to Jesus, being blind. The two men who followed after Jesus and Bartimaeus, they could not rely upon their eyes to see Jesus. They couldn't see him physically. So they had to see him another way. They had to see Jesus another way. They had to be looking for him another way. Thinking about Bartimaeus, I'm sure he had a routine for his day. We don't know what the other two men were up to before they were following Jesus, but Bartimaeus was probably in his daily routine, getting up, making his way to the roadside where he would camp out and beg all day. Day after day, I can imagine he did that. That was his routine. That's how he lived. One day, Jesus was walking by, and Bartimaeus heard him. He was listening. He was going about his routine, but he was still aware of things going on around him. He was still aware of Jesus when Jesus walked by. He may have been blind, but some things he could still see. So he heard Jesus along the road, and obviously he had to have known something about Jesus. He knew enough about Jesus to call out to him, Son of David. He knew that Jesus could grant him mercy. He knew that Jesus could restore his sight. Bartimaeus couldn't see Jesus. He couldn't see the miracles that Jesus had done. But he could hear about them. He could hear the stories, hear the reactions of the people. He had heard enough and believed. He had faith. We know he had faith because Jesus said he had faith. Now, the story of Bartimaeus is also told in Luke chapter 18. The story is essentially the same, except for the very end. Luke adds one more sentence at the very end, and I think that verse is important. So I'm going to read verses 42 and 43 of chapter 18 of Luke, beginning with Bartimaeus being healed. Then Jesus said to him, Receive your sight, your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. I don't know if these people who saw this, who this is referring to, were already believers or not. Some may have been, but some may not have been believers. I can imagine those who didn't already believe, or maybe those who were on the fence, maybe going back and forth whether to believe him or not. After seeing this man be given his sight, they went home and said to their families, "I met a blind man who taught me how to see." Also in this story, Bartimaeus, even before he is given his sight, when Jesus calls to him, like I mentioned, he goes to Jesus. He couldn't see him, but he knew where he was. In my life, I don't think I'm aware of Jesus in my life as much as I should be. I have my routine that I go through day by day, go about my business. Occasionally, I think about Jesus. Most of the time, I don't. I'm not physically blind, but sometimes I may be spiritually blind. I don't make myself aware of him. I don't listen for him. He could pass by me during my day, and I might not notice. The first three chapters of the book of Revelation, they're letters written by John, but told by Jesus for John to write. Letters to seven of the first century churches. The final letter in chapter 3 was written to the church of Laodicea. This church was called lukewarm because they were neither hot nor cold for Jesus, for the Lord. I'm going to read verses 17 and 18 of this letter, just a couple verses from it, because Jesus calls them blind. Revelation 3, 17 and 18. "Because you say, 'I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing,' and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see." So in verse 17, he says they're blind. In verse 18, in order to cure that blindness, he says to anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. At this time in history, when this was written, there was this salve, this compound, this material. Various substances were put into it, from what I could see, that people would put on their eyes if they were sore or weak. It was supposed to have kind of a healing quality to it. So Jesus is calling these people blind, not physically, but spiritually. So he tells them to use an eye salve to put onto their eyes, their spiritual eyes, so that they could see. So they could see him better in their lives. Sometimes, spiritually, like this church at Laodicea, I need some of that eye salve. I'm blind sometimes spiritually, not paying attention, not focused on him, focused on my daily routine, not listening for him, not seeing him. I need some of this eye salve to put on my spiritual eyes to give me sight. So this morning I have some verses that I look at as an eye salve. Verses that, they're not new verses to us. There's nothing new here, but just verses that when I was reading through them, it reminded me of that God is there, and it'd be good to read these every day to remind me to listen, to hear for him, listen for him, to see him in any way I can. So I'm going to be reading through 12, 13 verses or so as an eye salve. And if you need an eye salve too, these might be good for you as well. Psalms 145 and 18. "The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth." Lord is near to all who call upon Him. We need to pray throughout our day. We need to cry out to Him, just like Bartimaeus did, just like the other two blind men did. Cry out to Jesus. Go to Him in prayer. Philippians 4 and 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. We have to make the choice in our lives sometimes to rejoice. A choice to rejoice. Sometimes rejoicing doesn't come easy, but we do need to rejoice. We need to be joyful in everything, in this even small things that we may overlook. Be joyful. Rejoice. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Similar to this, the last one. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. We need to be thankful for our blessings, and it's the will of God that we be thankful. 1 Thessalonians 5:21, just a few verses later. Test all things, hold fast what is good. It's that second part that I like. Hold fast what is good. To what is good? We need to dwell on the good. That's more than just thinking about the good things in life. Dwelling means to live, to reside. We need to live in what is good. We need to really concentrate on the good things in life. That can be hard nowadays. There's a lot of bad going on. We need to dwell on the good. Focus on the good. John 13:34. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. We need to love. Not much more to say than that. That's nothing new. But it's good to be reminded that Jesus commanded it. Jesus says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. We're commanded to love. So I'm just now noticing there's a lot in 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians 5:19, do not quench the Spirit. When I hear the word quench, the image that comes to my mind is quenching a campfire. You have a campfire, you're done camping, you quench it. You put out that fire when you're done with it. Do not quench the Spirit. We need to keep the fire of the Holy Spirit in our lives lit. Don't put it out. Don't quench it. Proverbs 16:32. He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty. We need to be patient through our trials. We need to be patient with people. Be slow to anger. Don't fly off the handle. Ephesians 4:2. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. You need to remember to be humble. You know, don't think too much of ourselves. Don't be prideful. You need to be humble. James 4:7. Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Submit means to succumb, to give up. We need to succumb to God, give up to God, give ourselves to Him and to His authority completely. Galatians 6:9. Let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. There was a verse earlier about dwelling on the good. Now it says, do not grow weary while doing good. Just don't dwell on it. We need to do good. We need to seek out to do good all the time and not get tired of it. We need to do good. Psalms 37:7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. And it's the first part. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. waiting for the Lord, being patient for the Lord. Even when things are going crazy around us, be patient. Similar verse to Psalms 27:14. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. I find it interesting that it's after he says, wait on the Lord, it says, be of good courage. It takes courage to wait on the Lord. I never picked that out before. It takes bravery to wait on the Lord. Because it can be hard sometimes. It does take courage sometimes to wait and be patient. The last one I have is Psalms 1 and 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. We need to delight in God's law and meditate on his word. And that's a big one. That's one I definitely don't do enough of. Meditating on his word, reading his word. That's a big one if you want to hear him walking by you. So if you metaphorically find yourself blind this morning, sitting on the side of the road, begging, would you hear Jesus walk by? Would you be attuned to hear him like Bartimaeus was? Bartimaeus was in his pattern. I'm sure he was living his life begging, focused on what he couldn't do, but he was still focused enough to hear Jesus walk by. Would you hear Jesus walk by this morning? Would you hear him and cry out to him? Or would you be caught up in your blindness that you would miss him? If your spiritual eyes aren't working too well, hopefully these verses can act as a salve to help you open your eyes and help them work so that we can see them. Blind Bartimaeus saw Jesus going by, not with his eyes, but he saw him. And when he saw him, he cried out to him, cried out to Jesus to heal him, to cure him, to give him sight. And we need to be cured. We need to be cured from our sin. And only Jesus' sacrifice can cure us. So if you need Jesus to cure you of your sins this morning, you're invited to come forward and cry out to him and be baptized as we stand and sing.